All right, here we go. Where should we start? You want to start with Stormy or Roseanne?
Start with Roseanne, and then we'll go into Stormy.
Okay. Did you watch Roseanne?
No, but I heard her on Howard Stern yesterday.
Interesting. Now, did you like the show in the 90s?
Lived for it.
Yeah, me too. Totally lived for it. So here was what I thought. First of all, I was worried. I thought that it was going to not be very good. So I was a little worried about it, and I figured that if I didn't like the first show, that I would at least give one more show a try. So my takeaway from, there were two shows on last night. I really liked it. I thought it was done very well. Part of the reason I loved the original show was because I felt that I bought them 100% as a family. I thought they were all heart. I always wanted to kind of like hang out at the Connor house and just watch and be a fly on the wall and watch.
Yes.
Them.
Yeah.
I love Jackie. I just loved that show. So what I thought about this particular show was, okay, the second show got a little bit more comfortable. They've all been away for a long time. They've reunited. They clearly have a chemistry that's natural. I think it's just going to take a few shows to get back into that solid groove that they had for the majority of the run. I did not like the last season at all. I hated when they won the lottery. I hated it. The very last the very last show made me cry because for spoiler for years ago, it basically turned out that none of that had happened. They hadn't won the lottery. Dan had really died, and Roseanne was alone, and she was writing, you know, this crazy story. I believe it was like about winning the lottery. And, you know, I guess in the original show, she had written like her mother was gay. And I guess she explained in the last show that it wasn't her mother that was gay. It was really her sister. And the two daughters ended up with the reverse men. So Mark was with Darlene and David was with Becky. So now that dynamic is different. Clearly, Dan is alive. So they yeah. did a little nod to that, a winky nod to that. And I don't really know, unless I missed it, what happened to the two men, Mark and David. I know in real life, the guy who played Mark died. I think he died of a drug overdose. So I'm not exactly sure. Maybe I just missed it. I was out of the room or something when they said something about David, but David wasn't on the show. But I thought it was funny. I laughed out loud several times. And as far as Roseanne, you know, I posted something on my Facebook page and I saw because I saw on social media, there were a lot of people saying that I refuse to watch the show because she's a Trump supporter. So Roseanne has blocked me on Twitter.
She
blocked me years ago. And I don't even know why. It was before Trump. She had retweeted me once, and then I found I was blocked by her. So I don't know if that was on purpose or a mistake. But I watch another show called Roseanne's Nuts, and it's a reality show about she lives in Hawaii and she has a nut farm. And her mother was on that show and talked about when she was a little girl, she was in some kind of an accident and damaged her head and has never been the same since. So we've all heard the stories that Roseanne's crazy and angry and difficult to work with, and I'm sure she is. And I'm glad that I never have to meet her in person because I probably wouldn't be able to stand her.
So that's her excuse, that she damaged her head in the accident?
That's not her excuse. That's what her mother said, that, you know, after that accident, she was never the same. So I think that some of Roseanne's temperament and choices and beliefs are kind of colored by that accident. Roseanne has never said that. That's just what I think. Maybe mm-hmm. part of the reason she believes Trump was a better candidate than Hillary was a result from that accident. I don't know. But what I find interesting is I do like the way they handle the because Jackie, her sister, is full on liberal. She, you know, the first shot of her was wearing a pussy hat and a shirt that said nasty woman. And she opens mm-hmm. the door and says, you know, how's it going, deplorables, or something like that. So she's full, full liberal. And I think that they did a good job of basically portraying what so many families are going through right now. you know, where you've got, I mean, I know that in my family, I've got people who voted for Trump. And yeah. obviously, I'm pretty freaking liberal. So, you know, you got to deal with these people. You know, you have to deal with them every once in a while if they're in your family. So I think that, and, you know, we all know that Jackie and Roseanne were so incredibly close. And I think it's so interesting to watch how they're handling it, because it's not a pro-Trump show. You know, if anything, it's more liberal. And Darlene, the daughter, Sarah Gilbert, is an executive producer. And I, you know, she's gay. I don't know her politics, but I'm going to guess that she's not a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, her influence on this show is pretty, pretty strong. So, you know, this is not a pro-Trump show. And I've seen people arguing on my Facebook page today, you know, in the fact, because I went on and I basically just said why I liked it. You know, people are getting pissed off at me for liking it. It's like, well, I'm not going to apologize, because I think they're handling the political aspect well.
Yeah.
Watching this show doesn't mean I support Trump. And this is not a show that's, it's not coming across as bigoted. And here's a spoiler for anybody who wants to turn the sound down for a minute. Darlene has a son, and, you know, he is dressing up like a girl to go to school. And he says on the show that he's not gay. He just likes, he's creative. He likes the colors, and he's just wanting to dress in a more, you know, in a way that makes him feel more comfortable. And so I think the way that they handled this is about as anti-Trump as you can get. So this is not a pro-Trump show. This is it's you know, and I don't know how it's going to go. I have a feeling, and I'm hoping that and the other thing that I want to say about this was, it was not a show that was winks and nods to the last show and remember this and remember that. It was just basically, here they are now, and here's where, you know, they had a few nods, a few winks to kind of catch you up. But I think once we're caught up, it's over. And now it's just about, you know, the Connor house and what they're dealing with right now. And I appreciate that. That's what I was hoping for. And that's, I didn't know that they were going to do that, and they've done it. So, you know, I think, and what else, what I would really love is for one show, back in the day, Booker, remember Booker used to date Jackie?
Booker was, yeah, that, well, that was,
George Clooney.
Was it Booker, George Clooney.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it would be really cool if for one show, George Clooney would come back. I don't really care how they bring him back. I just think it would be funny
just
to watch
bring
him and Jackie.
Back.
Yeah. That would be great. That would be so funny. So those were my thoughts. I mean, I'm absolutely going to watch it again. And, I loved it then. It made me laugh out loud many times. And, so, you know, I don't want to hear the haters. If you don't want to watch a show, don't watch a show. But, you know, don't scream at me for liking it.
Right.
I don't want to hear it. And I'm still going to watch it.
I'm allowed to
scream
like it.
Yeah. So anyway, there's my two cents on that.
Neat. I heard her on Howard Stern yesterday, and his interviews are so great. And I put the fact that she's a Trump supporter aside and listened to a really interesting interview.
Yeah.
The accident that, the reason I asked if that was an excuse, she talked about the accident.
Oh, okay.
And she fell, and it was in, you know, I can't remember how she fell, but she hurt her face and she was paralyzed. She had Bell's palsy for 48 hours, which is, I guess, what happens. And you know, her parents were, her mother was a Holocaust survivor. And so there was a lot of, you know, anxiety. And like she said that people would come to the door, and they would, the mom would gather the family and they'd go hide in the basement.
Wow.
You know, like there, yeah, it was a trip. So she, you know, she's an interesting cat for sure. And a brilliant woman. Mm-hmm. I don't get how she supports Trump, and
no,
I don't want to delve into that, because I want to be an adult for 5 minutes around this thing and say, you know what? She's entertaining.
Yeah.
This show meant a lot to me. This show broke so much ground. Mm-hmm. You know, here she was, a woman who went in and just did it her way and brought, you know, people struggling financially. It was like the anti Cosby, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, where that was such a, that's not how family is. At least I don't think that's not representative of the American family. Mm-hmm. In terms of, not everybody's fucking perfect.
Right. And not everybody has lawyers and doctors as parents. Correct. I mean, I think that as much as I can't stand Bill Cosby now, I think his show was extremely important because it did show that black families could be successful. Absolutely. And all of that. But yeah, are they representative of the average American? No. They were well off, and they were a family actually of privilege.
Of privilege. And but no, believe me, we sat down as a family and watched that every single week and
did
all the dance moves. I mean, it was a thing.
Yeah.
That was entertaining. But in a way, it wasn't really as realistic in terms of how families run.
Right.
As the Roseanne show was.
Yeah. I can't even stress how much I loved that show. That's my favorite sitcom.
Yeah. You know, I remember one of the episodes where she was bummed out and she was sharing with her sister Jackie that, you know, she was worried about her marriage with Dan because he didn't want to have sex on Wednesday night because that was always their sex night. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's like, that shit's real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
One of my favorite lines from that show too was, I guess DJ, the son, was spying on, and this was back, you know, in the 90s, was spying on Darlene and Becky when they were changing or something. And I guess Darlene called him a pervert. So he comes down to Roseanne and he's all upset and he goes, "Darlene called me a prevert." And then Roseanne looks at him. She goes, "Oh, you're not a prevert. You're a pervert."
Yeah,
she's not politically correct. Uh-uh. She says it. I know she's not for everyone, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think she should. You know, I mean, I'm certainly not saying everybody has to like her or appreciate her or watch the show. It's just that it irritates me so much when I come out and say, okay, here was my view of it, and then everyone's screaming at me like, "Well, do you support bigotry?" It's like, no, God. And the show isn't. It's not a bigoted show.
Oh, and guess what? If Donald Trump had a TV show,
yeah,
I wouldn't watch that fucking thing.
No.
Okay.
No.
This is different.
And you know what? If it was a pro Trump show, I wouldn't be able to stomach it. I just wouldn't be able to stomach it. But it isn't. So I think it's just dealing with family members, you know, who are divided at this point. And so, you know, and it's not all about politics because that's not the only storyline. There's, you know, just like in the, you know, the show before, it's going to be different people have different storylines. So, you know, I know but Darlene lost her job. So that's not a political thing. This is, she's living with them now because she lost her job. So, you know, I mean, I think they're just going to do family stuff just like they always used to. So anyway, enough about that. Let's get to Stormy. Did you watch Stormy? I know you did.
Yes, it was great.
What's your takeaway from that? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think Stormy Daniels came across so credible.
Yeah.
She has, first of all, we watch people lie on TV all the time. Anytime anyone from Trump's cabinet is interviewed on television, anytime he speaks, it's
press
a
secretary.
Lie. All of them, the press secretary, you watch people lie, their eyes look down, the press secretary is a perfect example of what a person looks like when they're lying and they're speaking publicly. Stormy Daniels was not lying.
No.
She spoke with conviction. She's unbelievably articulate. She is the type of person, I mean, I follow her on Twitter because she's hysterical.
I know she is.
But she's a smart cookie.
Yes, she is.
New York Times put an article out last week about her. Like, this is a force to be reckoned with. This is someone who has a vision for herself and what she wants for herself professionally. She has set goals for herself to support herself and her daughter. She's no fool. And she's not a victim. And she made that very clear from the get-go. She just is. She's not a liar.
Well,
and
you know,
her life is threatened.
I do think that she is a victim, but not in the way that people have made her out to be as far as like the Me Too. Clearly she had consensual sex.
Right.
I think she felt pressured to have sex. That is on her. I don't know what her thought process, like, for instance, we've had that conversation before where, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I was at a man's house late at night and I decided that I was going to have sex with him because I felt like if I didn't, he might hurt me. He gave me no indication to believe that he might hurt me, But I, you know, understanding rape culture and all of that, I just thought, you know what? I'm not even taking a risk of any violence or anything. I think he's
cute. I'm just
going to do it. And maybe that was her reasoning, and I don't know. And if that was her reasoning, which was kind of what she described, because she said, well, I've got myself into this situation. No means no. If she didn't want to have sex with him, I'm not going to say should have, but you know, if you don't want to have sex with someone, you should be able to feel comfortable saying no without worrying about some kind
of... If he's going to hurt you.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if violence was a factor in her decision, but I think patriarchy was. So in that sense, I think she's a bit of a victim, but not a helpless victim.
No.
Just somebody who, like so many of us... felt the pressures of the patriarchy and decided to do something that she didn't want to do because she thought it would just be easier for her. And then I also think that she's a victim in that, you know, I mean, she's dealing with threats from Cohen and, you know, or Trump's goons, basically. So I do think that she is to a degree, but I appreciate that she said that she wasn't, because that's what the right wants to paint her as, you know, oh, she thinks she's this big victim. And it's like, no. And then what I took away was everything you took away. I mean, I completely believe her, and you're absolutely right. We look at liars all day long on television, and we can see the little things that they do. And it's not to say that we're all experts on it, but I mean, come on, you can tell when people are lying. And, so I completely believed everything she said. Beyond that, I found this, you know, I mean, I also saw people were like, oh, well, this was disappointing. Not to me, not at all. Because number one, this was the first time that a private citizen went on national television in this venue under these circumstances and saying, somebody who worked for Trump threatened me with physical danger. They threatened her daughter in that. I think it was like, wouldn't it be a shame if your beautiful daughter, you know, if something happened to the mother? Well, that's a threat to the child as well. And, you know, it's the first time that someone has kind of publicly taken him. I mean, we've had women who have said that they've been harassed by him or raped by him. But this was the first time on national television where just a private citizen has basically gone up and hit the wasp's nest with a big stick. And her lawyer just impresses the hell out of me. This guy knows how to play Trump's game better than Trump. And he is totally using it. And, you know, and I think also I see the critics out there saying, I don't care about Stormy. I don't care about the sex. It's not about the sex. This is not about consensual sex. This is about the fact that it's hush money. It's cover up. It's campaign finance laws. It's threatening. The president of the United States is threatening another human being. Whether he was president at the time or not doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it would happen at all. I mean, obviously, if Obama ever did anything like this, the right would be freaking out. So,
oh, please, you know, I mean, exactly.
But I've seen Democrats arguing. It's like, oh, well, it's just salacious tabloid. No, this has gone way beyond tabloid. This is extreme. And I think that it's also cool because Avenatti, again, knows how to play the game better than Trump. He is... forcing Trump to act on this, which is funny because Trump is saying nothing. And, you know, as, what's her name? Nicole Wallace was pointing out, he's like 430 people he's picked on, but three people he's left alone, which is Stormy Daniels, Karen, I think McDougal is her name, the other the Playboy model, and Vladimir Putin. He won't say anything about them. So that's kind of fascinating. And this tweet that Avenatti put out right before 60 Minutes of the DVD sitting in a vault or, you know, a safe.
Yes.
was, you know, I think people were hoping to see pixelated dick pics. And it's like he explained that they were holding on to that we weren't going to see that on 60 Minutes. That was basically that after Stormy told her story, if Trump and, you know, his supporters or his lawyers were going to come after her, that here we've got the proof right here. Go ahead, make our day. You know,
right,
it's make, like...
right. And so here's something that, you know, pixelated dick pics, whatever. And by the way, if there are, I'm looking at every single one.
Yeah, of course, me too.
But
I think, you know, this imbecile.
Bob's laughing at us.
Who pulled his, of course he is. And then if we get to stay on after, we can talk about other filthy things that even I'll draw the line on the air. He pulls his pants down within the first few minutes of her being in the room so she can whip his ass with his Fortune magazine.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude, he's thinking with his little head.
Yeah.
And he wanted to continue seeing her. And she was like, no, I'm here because you asked me here and you told me I could be on The Apprentice.
Right.
Now I'm grabbing my purse and I'm leaving. We're not having sex again. Because guess what? And what I also liked about Stormy, she didn't say it was crappy sex. She didn't even have to go there.
Right.
She's better than that. She truly is.
Yeah.
And so my thought is, you know, she talked about him calling her all the time and she'd put him on speakerphone.
Yeah.
I bet you he called her when she was on a movie set. She put him on speaker. I bet they have audio of him droning on while she's on a porn set. And Michael Avenatti, this bitch is not bluffing.
No.
He doesn't have to bluff.
No.
He's the real deal. You know, I did a little research on him. He won a class action lawsuit in the state of California for people who were suing Kimberly Clark for poisonous materials that were in like their lab gowns.
Uh-huh.
And wow. It was like $458 million class action lawsuit.
Wow.
This man is no joke.
Right.
This man knows how to play the game. He was on Lawrence O'Donnell the other night. Out of the gate, they laid a trap.
Yes.
Trump is now going to be deposed.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's a trap, and he's walking right into it.
Yep, because he's a dumbass.
And the greatest thing too is that not only does her lawyer play this game better than Trump, he's also good looking. So it's like, oh my God, this is so great because he's going to get all this exposure. He's a nice looking man, and like the media is just eating him up. Stormy's good looking. He's good looking. I know that doesn't really mean anything, but what it does mean is that they're going to get attention. You know, they're attractive people. People like looking at them. And for all the people bitching and complaining that they don't want to see any more Stormy, they're certainly getting a lot of ratings. These people are getting a lot of ratings. And I think it's beyond tabloid. This is much bigger. And I know there's an article out there and I don't know who it's by or whatever, but it was, even Renato Mariotti might have tweeted about it, but somehow the Stormy Daniels story is kind of tied into the Russia investigation. I'm not exactly sure how that is, and it may not be a direct tie. But I think part of how it's tied in is that it's taking some of the attention away from Mueller for Trump because he's so busy worrying about the Stormy situation. He's got to spend time thinking about it, and he's mm-hmm. pissed off. And he's, you know, he's somebody who loves revenge. So, you know, it's got to take some of the obsession with Mueller off of the plate for him. So
yeah.
I think that's a good thing as well.
Yes.
So, you know, stay tuned. We'll see what happens. It's so exciting. It's like rubbing my fingers together or hands together.
I know. Yes, exactly. It's meaty and it's delicious and it's coming down. And all the while, Mueller's working his magic in the background.
Yeah.
And you know what? Who knows what's going to happen with regards to Mueller, but this thing, they're so far along. They've got so many tricks and juicy things that they haven't, you know, they're piecemealing this to us.
Exactly.
So we're in good shape.
Well, I did tease a little bit about we're low on time, so we're going to have to end in a little bit. But I did tease with the story. So I'll just give a little bit of a tease. So I was excited because, you know, I've had this idea for writing a book for a while. And finally, I just sat down yesterday and I wrote out one of my experiences. I don't know if it's literally going to be the first chapter. But, you know, as I've said to you before, this book, and by the way, before I even go on, I just want to say that we got a couple of really nice comments regarding our last And Another Thing conversation, because on this show, we're a little bit more personal, and, you know, we talk about our sex lives and our love lives and things like that, so I just wanted to say thank you to the people who said really nice things out there. We appreciate it.
Nice people. That makes me feel so good. That we're getting such a positive response, and I love, there are some wonderful, like, the week in and week out, people who listen and who give us their feedback, and that just fuels us, you know.
Totally fuels us.
And by the way, we're journalists. Okay.
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, the little teaser here is that, yeah, back when I was 34, I one of my experiences with men was going out and basically just having sex. It was just basically a casual sex situation with this guy who was 24. And I had never really done anything like that. I with somebody so much younger. Usually I went out with older men. But, you know, I'm going to try, and it's certainly going to be a challenge in this book, to kind of tie my body image issues into how I handled myself in relationships. And so even though this story is funny, there is some body image issues in it. And part of it is because this young guy who, God, it's going to be so hard for me. Don't say his name, Kimberly. Don't say his name. I'll just say Antonio, which is not his real name. Or actor/model. That's what I like to call him. Because he was an actor/model. He was very cute. You know, I mean, and when I first saw him, we worked together. I immediately just wrote him off as being a bubblehead who was up his own ass. And I figured he would never give somebody like me the time of day. Not that I was interested in him in romantically at all. It's just that guys that looked like him never liked me. So I kind of rolled my eyes when I saw him. There are a dime a dozen in Los Angeles, good looking actor/model types. And so, you know, we worked together, and over time, we developed a friendly working relationship, and he started flirting with me, and eventually it led to us hooking up. And it was so awful, because I can say it was like he had a third leg. It was like the biggest thing I've ever seen. And it was not fun. It was not pleasurable. It was uncomfortable. And he didn't know what he was doing at all. He learned his moves from pornography. And I had learned, this is a little giveaway, but when I met him, he was married, and, you know, he had called me. We hadn't seen each other for a while. Our work had ended. It was temporary work, or seasonal work, I should say. So, I don't know, a couple months, whatever it was, he gives me a call, and he informs me that he got a separation and that they were getting a divorce and they wanted to go out with me. And so, you know, I had seen his wife, and his wife wasn't the best looking woman. She was cute. She was pretty. But she's very skinny and had a cute, tight little body. And I mean, at the time, I probably was in my prime. I was 34 years old. I looked great, but I always hated my body. I always thought I was too fat. So I just looked at her and I just thought that I was fat. And so, you know, I know, but I mean, I was young and dumb. So, you know, when we did have sex, it was so bad, but I had learned that I was the second person he had sex with. he didn't tell me that. Somebody else did. And so I can't verify if it's true, but all I can say is it seemed true, because he just didn't know at all what he was doing. And it was just so awful. And you know, I'm leaving out the most juicy parts, but it was kind of fun to, like, go back and remember it and write it out, because it was just one of the most ridiculous. I had sex with him 3 times. I gave him 3 shots. And the last one was the worst. It was so awful. It was just awful. So anyway, it was just kind of fun to write. And it's going to be such a journey for me, because all I know is that I want to chronicle these stories, tie them into, you know, certain patriarchal, I don't know, norms in this country and my body image issues. So it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds as I write it.
I can't wait. You better piecemeal some shit to me along the way.
Oh, I will.
Keep me fed.
Well, I'll want your opinion.
Okay. You'll get it.
Alrighty. So
I guess leg.
Yeah. Or tripod. Oh my God. Well, and it also reminds me, did you watch Sex in the City?
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. It just reminds me of the Samantha when she had sex with that guy who was so huge. I don't know if you remember.
So huge.
Yeah.
Of course I do. Bring back Bruce.
Yes. All righty. Well, that's it. And don't forget that everybody, Scott Dworkin's going to be on our next show, which is on April 11th.
Love him.
I know. That's going to be fun.
He's for real.
All right. Well, cool. It was fun talking to you.
You too, hon. Love you guys. Bye, Bob.
See you next time. Silent tears.